This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile and time for a checkup on FM Talk 106.5. And good to see you from Southern Cancer Center, Michelle Sanford, back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're a nurse practitioner.
Right.
Okay. And I know, because I look at your name and you've got, you know, letters behind your name that I know mean something, but I don't know what they... So nurse practitioner, give me from a nurse to a nurse practitioner, what's the difference? How do we understand that?
We are a mid-level provider. So we were registered nurses first, and then we have an additional 2 to 3 year degree that makes us a mid-level provider in between a nurse and a physician. So our role is to see patients. One of our main roles at Southern Cancer Center is to do chemotherapy education when a patient comes in and first gets their treatment plan. We see them before and after chemotherapy to monitor for side effects and to improve their quality of life. And another one of our roles is advanced care planning. After we discuss their treatment plan with them, then we want to get to know them better and see what their priorities and values are so that we can make sure that our plan of care is not interfering with their life.
Okay, yeah, it sounds good. You say advanced care planning. Mm-hmm. It sounds good, but then how it really is applied. I guess that's my question.
It's two different parts. So advanced care planning, we do it in one visit because it's a lot of information, at least the way we do it at our clinic. So the two parts are, one, looking at the patient's values. And we do this at our clinic in the setting of patients that are metastatic. So they have an incurable disease, but advanced care planning can really be for anybody. They don't even have to be sick because what it entails is what would you want if you were to become ill? And the best way to think about that, very ill, terminally ill, the best time to think about that is before it happens, because you never know when something bad is going to happen to you. And if you have a plan in place, at least your family knows what your wishes are. And that takes the stressors of having to decide that at the last minute if something were to happen to you tragically. The other part of advanced care planning that we do, I don't know if every other clinic entails this, but we also look at the patient's values. When you're undergoing treatment and you're in the metastatic setting, or even if you're not in the metastatic setting, what's important to you? Is it your family? Is it trying? Would you rather spend more time with your family rather than in treatment? Or is your main priority to aim for a cure, even if it's not considered possible? Do you want the maximum amount of treatment, even if it makes you feel bad? Or are you somewhere in the middle? We also look at, do you have any life events coming up that you want to make sure your treatment does not interfere with? Weddings, graduations, that type of thing, so we can plan for that. Do you want your pain treated to the utmost extent, even if it may make you tired or sleepy, unable to interact as well with your family? Or do you not want pain medicines unless absolutely necessary, so you don't have those side effects? How do you feel if it was towards the end of life about tube feedings? So we know about all these things. So it just kind of looks at the big picture of how do we want our care to be in the future, and it involves the patient, and that's the way it should be for everybody everywhere. But I feel like patients are really resistant to discussing those serious issues.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I'm just talking with you on the radio. It made me uncomfortable in this.
It's
fair, because these are important questions.
Yes.
And to think about your role, not just as a healthcare provider, mm-hmm. and what you're, all the letters behind your name there, mm-hmm. for that, you're in the social world here too. Mm-hmm. It's not just the medicine and science. You're having to navigate stuff that's the heart.
Right. People's emotions and...
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, do people go when you were giving me a very brief overview of the questions. Right. Do people go, I got to get back with you on that, Michelle.
Yeah,
I don't have an answer for you yet.
Exactly. So what I do, how we approach it at Southern Cancer Center, is we have a whole packet of information on advanced care planning. And so that packet has a form that they can fill out and take home to their family. And one part of the form looks at the values, like what is important to you? What do you want to make sure that we don't interfere with? Like, for example, I don't want you interfering with my ability to have time with my family. I don't want to be so tired that I can't, you know, have weekend dinners. Mm-hmm. There's a whole form that looks at that aspect.
But you're also there from the medical side to be able to say, mm-hmm. this is what the other side of that is, right? This equation, if you want more mm-hmm. of this, then, right. then here's the...
If you want aggressive treatment, you know, we'll mm-hmm. let us know about that too. And then the other part of the package, so there's that form that they can take out home and there's space for them to write in it. And the other part of the package is actually a legal document, and it's a living will. And that tells, it's a legal document. It tells what you would like if you were terminally ill. This isn't if you end up in the hospital with pneumonia.
Right.
But if there is a situation, and like I said, it doesn't have to be somebody with cancer. It can be you or I, and we get in a very bad car accident.
Right.
And we're in the ICU, and the doctors have decided that there's no hope that we're going to live a productive life. We may be on a ventilator for the rest of our life, or have a stroke and we may not be able to walk again. In that setting, or maybe not even able to talk again, in that setting, would you want to be on a ventilator? Would you want CPR? Would you want tube feedings? And there's a form that you can fill out, and that's a legal document. And all you have to do is fill it out, sign it, have, I think it's two witnesses sign it, and it's a legal document in Alabama. So we give all that information to them to take home and encourage them to discuss it with their families and bring it back to us at the next visit. But again, it's something that everybody should consider so that their family doesn't have to go through the stress of deciding that for them if anything emergent happens.
This has been an eye-opener for me because, while I know what y'all do, well, I see the results of what you do at Southern Cancer Center, helping people fight cancer. I didn't ever think about this, but I thought this was an adjunct or something from a separate world. Mm-hmm. But y'all have integrated that. Yeah, I mean, I know y'all do holistic, right. But you've integrated that at Southern Cancer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If people want to get more information on this or things they need to think about here as they digest this, give them any closing thoughts on that?
Can actually Google Alabama, legal Alabama living will, and there is a document that you can just fill out at home like I discussed, and it just you sign it and two witnesses sign it, and it's a legal document. And you can even put things on there. You can get creative because it has places to write. So you can put on there, I actually put this on mine, if there is a chance of a miracle happening, I want to be on a ventilator for 2 weeks and then my family can decide to take me off. You know, but it gives you some time
right.
for that miracle to happen because some people do want that in their life.
Yeah.
So there's
I'm raising
things
my
that
hand.
You can get creative about. I'm willing to take tube feedings if it if there's a small chance of recovery. So you mm-hmm. can actually write your wishes in there because what we don't want to happen is people become, and it can be, again, anybody critically ill and they have no plan. Nobody knows their wishes. And even if somebody knows their wishes, a lot of times the family overrides it. And it creates a lot of arguments and stress in the family mm-hmm. instead of following what the patient may have really wanted. So, you know, I do this all the time. So I think about it. What would I want? And at the end of my life, I'd want to be with my family and my children. And that would be my number one priority if I had no hope. You know, I'd want them in the room.
Right.
With me sometimes. If you are at the end of life and that you don't have a living will, you're going to be intubated. You're going to end up in the ICU and you're going to have 2 hours of visitors a day on machines by yourself. And it's going to be scary. And your quality of life isn't going to be very good. You know, it's a scary situation. And
that's some real talk about that.
You don't want somebody deciding that choice for you. You know, it's
so you're saying, yeah, get over yourself. I'm maybe talking to myself that you
right.
don't want to deal with this document because you're telling us
you don't
here's what it looks like
it.
On the other end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you don't want to think about it now.
You don't want that burden on your family because your family's probably going to go, oh, we need to keep them alive as long as possible. But truthfully, if you think about it, being kept alive as long as possible artificially is not the best answer for a lot of people. It's not always a humane answer.
But you get to make your own decision
now. You get
now.
To make your own decision while you have the ability to. And you can, again, write details in there if it's, like I said, if there's a chance of a miracle, I want to be kept on a ventilator for 5 days just to see what happens. You know, you can do those types of things.
It's so something.
You can have
control. It's a lot to think about, but it's great to have somebody like you that's done it and knows how to guide folks out there. If they want to talk more about this or mm-hmm. anything else at Southern Cancer Center, they just reach out to you directly,
yeah,
Michelle?
All of our patients have the option to do this. Now, we do We would like to do this for every patient that has metastatic disease, just because most of those patients, not all, but most of those patients don't have a curable situation.
Right.
So when they convert over to being metastatic, or if they're diagnosed with that originally, it is something we want to discuss up front, like within the first couple of visits, or if somebody has a change, we want to discuss it. But any of our patients can make that appointment at any time, just saying they want an advanced care plan visit, and they can get that appointment in a couple of days.
Okay, so just check out Southern Cancer Center online, get the phone number there, or, and reach out to Michelle or anybody else there. But Michelle, thanks for coming in today, and thanks for, this is heavy stuff, but it's important stuff.
Yeah.
Michelle Sanford with Southern Cancer Center, thanks.
Thank you.